My name is Stephen Moore and I'm the presenter of the Your Law Firm Success podcast. This podcast explores the routes to law firm success. We chat to those who have done it, those who are doing it, and those who help law firms do it. This podcast is brought to you by MLT Digital, the leaders in law firm success. So today's episode of the Your Law Firm Success podcast is with Joy Kingsley, who's recently retired from senior management of JMW, which is a firm down in Manchester and London. In two successive practices, Joy took both of these firms from turnovers of between 5 and 10 million to over 50 and 75 million. So cumulatively, she grew the firms by 100 million. As usual, and what I've been finding to date, she's very self-effacing, very understated about it. Today, what we cover in particular is the use of strategic hiring to grow your law firm. Okay, so Joy, thank you very much for joining me. Thank you for giving me your time to chat with me on the Your Law Firm Success podcast. Perhaps we could start with you introducing yourself and providing a bit of background on your career or your illustrious career to date.
Yes, I'm Joy Kingsley, and at the present time, I'm a consultant at JMW, having been the senior partner there for 13 years. And before that, I only worked for one other law firm where I was a trainee, and I was also the managing partner and then the senior partner. That was a firm called Pannoni. And in that time, both firms grew from being smallish private client firms with turnovers of 5 million and 10 million respectively to large firms with 700 people working in them and turnovers of 50 and 70 million respectively. So, and they were full service law firms. So that's my background.
Okay, so you've basically taken or been either at the helm or close to the helm of two firms where you've gone from 5 or 10 million to 50 and 75 million. So no flash
in
the pan.
That's correct, yes. No, but the people say that the second one must have been easy because I'd done it the first. Well, the first one was similar. They were similar firms. They were at similar stages. And so, therefore, wasn't really that hard the second time sort of thing.
And is that true?
No, of course not. They were different firms and different positives and different problems. So, I neither is easy. And obviously, it's a bit of a roller coaster on the way. But I enjoyed my career. I enjoyed what went on at both firms, and in both cases, started from. I wouldn't want to call it a low ebb, but a small firm and small amount of income to becoming a larger firm with larger amount of income and profit. So luckily, although there were ups and downs along the way, it ended well.
Brilliant.
In both cases.
Well, it's a tremendous achievement on both accounts. And then when you combine it, it ends up being growth of probably 100 million, across the pair of them. I don't know what each one started with, or 110 million. The question that I quite often start with asking, this is a podcast about your law firm success. I know JMW is involved with a lot of smaller law firms across the country as well in the LawShare network. What would be your definition of law firm success?
Well, firstly, you want to have a firm that you're proud of. You want to have a firm that the people that work in it really enjoy, that they don't leave, and that people behave decently towards each other. And of course, that very good legal work is carried out and the clients are happy with the results. But also that you are financially successful so that you can attract talent and you can grow the firm into profitable growth, because without profits, you wouldn't be able to invest in new people and new ideas. And I think we've always wanted to do things a bit differently here. And on both occasions, we needed to produce more money, putting it bluntly, in order that we could invest in everything that we wanted to. So that, to me, is law firm success.
You mentioned there about attracting the right type of people. When we discussed what we were going to talk about, you talked specifically around strategic hiring as a key driver for success. You know, what, and what we're trying to do in each episode of the Your Law Firm Success podcast is look at key levers or drivers that those at the helm of the firm pull in order to deliver success. And when we spoke, you talked quite a lot about strategic hiring. So I was wondering if we could maybe cover that in a bit more detail, starting off with the thinking or the strategy behind that, please.
So if you decide that where you're going to go with your law firm is a full service law firm, then obviously you are going to need to hire people with expertise across the board. Gone are the days of very long ago when people were generalists and did all sorts of types of law. Now people concentrate on one type generally, and you need to have good people. And ideally, those people will either have clients or will attract clients as they become more proficient and more experienced. And so you need to have a good way of attracting people to your firm, if that's where you're going to go. With all these things, there's never one answer. There's never one sort of law firm and one way of doing anything. For us, a combination of interesting business development ideas coupled with recruitment, as you say, meant that we grew the firm in that way, and we made sure that we did it profitably. And it wasn't always that we could say, well, we think we'd like a such and such department today, so we'll go out and find the people to put in it. It's never quite like that. People approach you. Learn that you need to have good relationships with both recruiters, but also know a lot of people in your network that may suggest people. And then you have to be able to persuade the candidate that they want to come and work for you, because, you know, very good lawyers who also have business development skills and clients are wanted by a lot of firms. So you have to know how you're going to persuade them that they are for you, as it were.
And what have you found have been the most important ways in which you can persuade them? Is it money? Is it culture? Is it location? Or a combination of factors?
It is a combination of factors, but money is definitely one of them. People like to say that money isn't the main driver, and it's perfectly correct that if you meet somebody and they don't share the belief that you're putting forward, and they don't think that they're going to be a fit for your firm, whether the money is right or not, they're not going to join you. But I realised when I first got to JMW that to attract the right sort of people who we wanted to work for us, we were going to have to become more financially successful, because we were wanting to grow a commercial side, having already a private client side, and good people were already earning good money. So they're not going to join you for less money. So you need to build up the firm gradually. And obviously the people that join you are going to want to be paid what's fair for the job. What I wouldn't ever advise people to do would be just to enter a bidding war, and it becomes more about who's won the race and getting somebody that is very, very, very money driven, because you will have years that may not be as good as other years, and you don't want to be worrying constantly that somebody may leave if they earn a bit less one year than another, type of thing. So I think that money is important, but culture is important. Expectations of these days, what the working week is going to look like is important. People's colleagues, teams, managers, all of those add in to being a good place for people to work. And certainly you want to have some excitement, something that makes people want to get up in the morning. Otherwise, it could all be very dry. But all firms are different. And there were firms that were much further along a journey than we were in both of the firms that I work for. And therefore, we've probably had to do more of finding new clients and finding new people than some others. But I think recruitment's become a very big thing in most law firms now, particularly larger ones, whether they need to recruit people who have particular expertise, who will attract clients because they are so good at what they do, or whether they need to attract people who have clients, and then they need to attract people who can do the work. Because obviously, if people are successful within a firm, they're going to need more people to do the sort of work that they do.
It was interesting to think about that, particularly at the start, because I imagine in, you know, I'd like to understand a bit more about that around Panoni's and the attitude towards risk, which is something we've spoken about in previous episodes quite a lot, because I imagine the considerations around beginning to grow through strategic hiring can have some rolling their eyes back thinking, oh no, this is going to be so expensive.
Yeah, I mean, obviously my more recent experience is JMW, but at Panoni were probably a bit further along the full service journey, as it were, when I took over as managing partner. But I took over at managing partner at a very difficult time for the firm in the early 90s, in a bad recession that was happening then. The firm wasn't doing particularly well. And so I helped guide the firm to a much better place than it had been in. And because of that, partners, I think, were trusting. And therefore, if I said, I think this will work, let's give it a try, and it did, then, you know, they supported my ideas. And then when I moved to JMW, it was much the same. It slightly different in that they were very happy being the firm they were being and mainly doing personal injury and clinical negligence work. But the then managing partner, Bill Jones, the J of JMW, he wanted to grow the firm more and thought somebody else, and as it turned out, me, would help him do that. And he was getting near retirement anyway. And so, again, I think actually the partners here were a bit mistrustful of recruitment because they'd had one or two bad experiences, but when I talked to them about it, they were willing to give it a go, as it were. And as it started to work around the firm and it grew the income and the profits and everything we wanted it to do, then again they were supportive of it. And when we decided 4.5 years ago to open an office in London, and whereas a lot of firms will just get a serviced office, put a few people in it and hope to grow from there, we decided to do it the same way that we'd done Manchester, and find good people with clients and grow the London office in that way. And that of itself has been successful. And that went from £0 to 23 million over what's coming up for a 5-year period. So, That's grown quickly as well, but obviously with an eye on profit as well as on income. But it's something that's worked for us and is continuing to work. There's a new management at JMW now. I retired, other than as a consultant, in April, and the firm is now run by people I knew very well in the practice, and the transition has been successful and was over really 2 or 3 years. I first said in 2019 when I would expect to leave the practice, and we've worked to that time. But much of the way that it worked then is the way that it works now as well. Obviously, they're going to do new and different things. We're not all carbon copies of each other, but finding good recruits and putting them into the firm and making sure that they are happy there and want to stay there is something that they're still doing here now, and I think will continue.
Thinking about your move from Panoni to JMW, it sounds as if you were part of the same process to a certain extent that you then employ for strategic hiring for JMW, for bringing others in. How did you find your experience of that, or what was the catalyst for your move? Given you talked about stuff like culture, you know, I'm obviously not prying on exact details, but it must have been quite interesting being at the other side of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I didn't think I'd necessarily ever leave Panoni. Whereas a lot of people, particularly now, have worked at a number of different firms. I'd only ever worked at one. It had had different names, but there came a time I'd moved on to being senior partner. There was a new managing partner. The managing partner changed again at Panoni within a short period of time. And I just thought, you know, I've got another job, another growth in me. I mean, by that time, the firm had its 700 people, it had its London office, etc. And it all happened quite quickly. I just decided that I'd have a look and see what was out there. But it was, again, in a recession, the banking crisis. I moved in 2010. And I thought, you know, would somebody really in another firm put trust in someone that did management, didn't do any fee earning, and obviously it would be expensive as a hire. So I just thought I'd have a look what was out there. And within a month, I had three job offers in senior management positions, and I took the J&W one because it was a similar challenge. I liked the people. Central Manchester suited me, which is obviously where they were. And even though there was a financial crisis, because at the time they were only doing private client work, largely there was a small amount of other work that hadn't really been hit in the recession that most other firms had been hit by. And so it seemed a good choice. And the partners were keen to make changes, grow the firm, etc. And so that's why I moved there.
Okay, so that's interesting. It sounds like it was a combination of the challenge, which you were wanting, the people who you'd already met, opportunity, location, and I imagine, you know, the money was probably similar, was in there, but not as the overriding factor. And so
money, having said that, it is a bit of a driver for most people. I wouldn't have gone for less money, you know, that I wouldn't have thought that I was being valued in the correct way. But equally, it wasn't that, you know, as I said, it was a recession at the time. So the amounts of money were similar, and therefore it wasn't really an issue. They realised that I would want to come for about the same amount of money I'd been used to earning. And if things went well, we would all earn more. And that's what happened. So it is a lot more profitable now as a firm than when I joined it. And therefore, everybody's earned more than we were doing in 2010.
Brilliant. And for firms, anyone listening who's considering, oh, well, maybe strategic hiring, lateral hiring is the way for me to grow my firm, what do you think are the key considerations?
Well, you have to be good at decision making with recruits. You need to get it right, in my opinion, about 80% of the time. You're not going to get it right 100% of the time, but it can be very costly if you hire the wrong people in all sorts of ways. It can be costly in terms of recruitment fees, but also in having got the wrong person in and then how that person leaves you and then finding other people to do the work, etc., etc. Obviously, I had a lot of recruitment experience at Panoni's already, and it was an area that I was interested in and seemed to be one that I was good at. And therefore, there weren't more than 20% of people that didn't turn out to be the right people for the firm. And that can be culture, or it can be that candidates, you know, lawyer candidates, pretty clever people, they may hide certain aspects of their personality, or some people are quite prepared to say, yes, I've got loads of clients. I want to earn a very large amount of money, but I will bring in this amount of money. And no matter how much due diligence you do, sometimes they don't, they've told you things that just weren't true. So you have to make sure that most of the hires are right ones, and that you are able to persuade people in the right way, that you've got your partners behind you. and that they are keen to join in the process too. And they will meet the people and tell them everything that's good about the team or the department or the firm. And I think that you start gradually. I mean, you don't go out one day and say, send me to a recruitment agent, send me everybody you've got in your pocket. You know, you will want to see how you do with one or two or three and go from there. But I think it's not revolutionary. People have been strategically hiring people for a while. I think smaller firms sometimes don't want to do it because they are worried about how it may impact if they may be working with smaller margins and if they pick the wrong person. So they perhaps prefer to keep the firm as it is. But standing still is never an option because your staff want pay rises every year. So you have the same clients billing the same amount of money without a great hike in fees. You aren't going to be able to give pay rises to your staff. So you need to be building the firm to be more profitable so that the staff can be treated well and they won't want to go somewhere else who will maybe pay them more.
On the basis that you've been doing this for some time, what do you think are the most important lessons learned, both positive and negative, from the strategic hiring point of view, but overall in your career as well?
From a strategic hiring point of view, the positives are that it does work if you get it right. And it is a way to build a practice which hasn't started with a load of the sorts of clients that you now want to act for. So it's a way of getting in new work, new people, building, being more profitable, etc. So that's, you know, the big positive of it. The negative is if you have to manage out somebody that doesn't turn out to be right, that is always distracting. It wastes time. It can affect morale. So, you know, it's something to be done with care, as it were. In general, it's hard to say how, you know, people, what the positive is of growth or what the positive is of a successful law firm, other than that if things go wrong. So when we were hit by the pandemic, we didn't need to panic because we were in a strong position financially. And even if things were affected for a year or a number of years, we could make the firm still work. We weren't going to be in danger. And we were, you know, I'd worked my way through three recessions previously. So I didn't really have doubts about what we needed to do. And you need to do things quickly. You can't sit there hoping everything is going to be all right when everybody's been sent home. Some work types have dropped through the floor. You have to manage through the process and do it quickly so that you're ahead of other people. So in going to our bank and telling them what we thought the position might be, and using the government's furlough scheme, for example, we were very quick to do that. And then we were quick to come out of it again afterwards when things actually went better than we'd expected. So I think you're always looking for positives, but also turning challenges into positives, really. And you don't look for negatives, but there will be some, and there may be small negatives every day. And if you have a good team around you so that you're not trying to do absolutely everything yourself, and you trust them to do their jobs, then you can be ready to deal with those challenges as they come.
Thinking about this as you're, you know, you mentioned you're retiring now after what's been a significant period in practice. How do you think things have changed in terms of people's approach to work, requirements, desires, riders for joining, etc., the workplace in general, since you started going down this journey of the sort of lateral hiring and then today?
So things are always changing. You have to be flexible. People want different things, and you have to try and get into people's heads to think, what do those people want? And within your practice, it won't be that everybody wants the same thing. So And there's been many, many changes in the law. I mean, when I started in practice, you weren't allowed to advertise for work. Clients could come to you of their own volition, but you couldn't try and take anybody else's client. And there's been massive changes in marketing of legal practices. The recruitment thing is massively different. There are many more people coming onto the market, as it were. And yes, people, particularly since the pandemic, have changed a lot how they want to work. I mean, the legal profession really did not work from home before the pandemic. A few people may have done for particular reasons, but in general terms, law firms were 5 days in the office, everybody. And that wasn't what people wanted when they came back. And you had to be relatively flexible about that because you didn't want to lose people to firms who were more prepared to have their staff at home. But we have always wanted a reasonable presence in the office. And that's for pretty well everybody doing 3 or 4 days a week in the office, because we see a lot of value in training personally, in personal contact with people, in going out to see clients together, in finding clients together. And that's all quite difficult to do from sitting at home with your laptop. But we couldn't, and nor would we say, well, you either come back 5 days a week or, you know, there'll be trouble, sort of thing. But I think people have looked long and hard about what they want out of their careers. A few people did leave the law in general, and not masses, decided that something else was for them. And people are working in different ways, but the job is still there to do. So I think that people do look more now at wanting a work-life balance. And some people will say right at the start of any recruitment process, I will be looking to work at home 5 days a week. And in almost all circumstances, we'll say, well, actually, that's not for us, but thank you for telling us at the beginning, as it were. You know, people will maybe want to be more involved in management and want their ideas to be taken seriously and being allowed to run with them. But I think that's something that I've always been aware of and wanted to do, because people feel freer if they can feel like they're having some effect. And I don't think the firm is so large that it's impossible to do that.
Yeah, that's been something that's been highlighted a few times, the importance of understanding individual strengths and weaknesses. And it sort of brings me on to my next question, which was really that this is probably the first interview I've done where I've been talking to a lawyer where we've talked for almost no time around the actual technical practice of being a lawyer. And I'm wondering to what extent, or when you actually, if you did make the shift from being a technician to being more of a business person.
Yeah, that was probably quite early in that. I was of the generation where I did all work types when I was in my training contract, and I carried on doing law for the first 4 years that I was managing partner. And I realised that that was a mistake, because I was getting to a stage of I'd do my legal work in the evenings and then I'd be in meetings more or less all day as managing partner. And I enjoyed the management more anyway. And I felt I could make more of a contribution in that role. And so did my fellow partners. So they were happy for me. And I know some firms try and use one of their number who is a almost full-time corporate lawyer to also be the managing partner. I don't think that works, and I don't think it works in a larger firm. I think in a small firm, that maybe needs must, and they may have a fee earning target as well. But no, I mean, I haven't fee earned. I was 37 when I became managing partner, and I think I stopped any legal work at 41, and so that means I haven't done it without working, you know, for over 25 years. I haven't done legal work, but because I've done all sorts of legal work, of course the law changes, and I make sure that I'm fairly well read in what's changing and everything all the time. But it does mean that I do have some knowledge of all work types and can talk reasonably sensibly to heads of departments here and at my previous firm. And it's, I don't think it's a negative not having carried on fee earning, because you'd only have been fee earning one thing. And if you're going to be a full service law firm, corporate work isn't the same as personal injury work.
You mentioned that you enjoyed the management side more. Was that something that you were aware of early on in your actual technical career? Certainly for me, as soon as I started becoming or practicing, I was like, this is not for me.
Yeah, I mean, initially, I think I thought I would be a practicing lawyer. I think everybody does when they start. I ran a branch office, but because you had to be 3 years qualified, each day somebody would come out from the head office for, you know, to supervise, if you like. But I was effectively running an office from 1 year qualified. So, yeah, I would have been at that stage about, you know, 23, 24 years old. And I realised, it was a very small office, but I realised the sorts of things that you had to resolve and things that would improve everybody's working life and ways that you might attract clients. I realised at an early stage that I found that more interesting than the actual legal work. But I know people who find legal work absolutely fascinating. And interestingly, those that never decide to stop, that want to carry on working forever, tend to be people that love legal work, not management. I think that there is a, I mean, people have different views on how long you should operate as managing partner before passing over to somebody else. And my experience would be, if the firm is going incredibly well, then managing partners tend to stay on longer. And if it's not, they might have quite a short tenure, a bit like football managers, really. Mm. But you don't seem to see many managing partners not doing any legal work, purely managing, and 75 years old. I mean, I think it's quite a stressful job. I very much enjoyed it in both firms, but you can't say that it's, and I'm not saying that fee earning these days or being a head of department, none of it is without its stresses, but the buck does stop with the management. So, you know, don't seem to be many that stay around for many years after a normal retirement age.
Yeah, it seems to be the sort of last. For some, and often within firms, it's quite difficult to then find somewhere else to go if you're going to go back and then be a technician again after having been management. I mean, I know my dad is going to be 77, I think, this year, and he was very, very much a technical lawyer who enjoyed the intellectual aspects of practice and was still doing work as previously a QC and now a KC. Still for firms, you know, this year he will still take on pieces of work. And I think it's because he always enjoyed massively that aspect of things, whereas not, you know, they did the managerial thing in a different way. And, I, it's interesting you talking about doing that so early, moving completely, because there's still many who still seem to try to combine the fact of being a technician and a manager, which is almost like two sides of, you know, or two different personalities. What I was going to ask you, you've had a tremendous career, you know, the results that you've achieved across two firms, you know, absolutely brilliant. I don't think there's no one could dispute that. And sometimes at these times, it's quite nice to reflect on your career and sort of highlights. Have you got any ones that stand out for you as being particularly fond memories or otherwise?
I think there's just many, many of them. You know, there are always going to be, if you have a long career, which mine is over 40 years, there's going to be quite a lot of times where when the firm did incredibly well in the 100 best companies to work for, Sunday Times. And the very first time I applied in my previous firm, we were sixth out of everybody that entered, and we weren't expecting it, all having a chat round the table. And suddenly you realise, and that's happened at JMW as well, and different sorts of awards. you know, having a good year. My actual retirement was lovely. You know, there were many people who wanted to speak to me, who sent me emails, both from inside the firm and outside. And it was a special time of its own. You know, winning occasional large cases is always very satisfying, you know, because obviously I would know about that even if I wasn't involved in it. Somebody joining you who then does really, really well. Our London office, which, as I say, literally started as, you know, having recruited six people day one and promising we wouldn't take more than one floor in the first year. We ended up with two floors and, you know, taking a risk and then seeing it go the right way is always, you know, really enjoyable. And watching other people flourish who have worked with you and then they move into management roles and, you know, achieve great things in their roles. And, you know, everybody that I've worked with over the years, or most people, you know, I've had good relationships with and still have relationships with people from both firms, which are friendships. So I think I have very much enjoyed my time in the law, and, you know, there have been a lot of special times. Of course, there are times which aren't so good as well, you know, but you hope, you know, yes, you probably do remember those. But fortunately for me anyway, there are less of those than there are good times. So, yeah, that's what you would want.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for your time. It sounds like your career has been a very rich tapestry and very, very successful. And I hope that you enjoy whatever you're going to do next. I don't get the impression it'll be a complete slowdown and opt out. It sounds as if that might be difficult for you to do, but I'm sure you'll do a bit more of it.
Yeah, we wait and see.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, well, very nice to talk to you. And
so thanks very much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're enjoying our content. We'd be delighted to hear any feedback that you have. You can find out more about the Your Law Firm Success podcast at mltdigital.co.uk/podcast. Please subscribe. Please share with your friends. Please share with anyone who you know that you think would be interested.